Weeks and weeks ago, the Lord, during the middle of the night, which is when he speaks to me, opened up the door to the healing ministry of Jesus so we could understand it more succinctly. And he spoke to me about the words of faith, the touch of faith, which would be laying on our hands, anointing with oil, and the prayer of faith. We've covered all those, including the gifts of healings, which are not dependent upon your faith. They're dependent upon the distribution of God at his will, at his order. And we're very grateful for that succinct. It helped me a lot. I don't say in the Gospels too much. I'm better off in the epistles than in the Gospels. But I was so glad that God clarified that for me. The word, work of faith, the word of faith, when he just spoke and they believed what he said, and that's what we're asked to do. That's the highest realm of faith. The greatest realm of faith is just to believe what's said. He said, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. He said, okay, I believe that. And you put that in your heart. Now, when it says faith comes by hearing, it doesn't say faith comes by having heard. It isn't what you knew yesterday. It's what's real and burning in your heart today. It's what flames up as you meditate, as you read, as you ponder what meets today's need and what's flashing in your heart for today. And when you hear today's word and you begin to speak today's word, then that word brings healing. Now, it says faith and patience inherits the promise. That means this may take some time. You know, if you're really hungry, you don't want anybody that's cooking to take their time. I don't know if you've noticed that. They hover. I try not, Wayne fixes our breakfast, I try not to hover. I'm not much of an early morning person, early morning eater anyway, so that's fairly easy for me. But we're going to stand in the Word without hovering. And one fella came to me for prayer and he says, tell God I have to have this. Tell him I have to have it. Tell him this is an emergency. Tell him it's now, it's now, it's now. I thought, we've lost. You just never will get anything from God that way. There's no faith in that. Faith and patience. Faith is when I know what God said. I believe what he said, no matter what my body says, no matter what my friends and family say. You know, your friends, they help you out. They say, you look awful. Do you feel good? You've had that experience? You don't pay any attention because the word stands. And then there's the touch of faith where you can be touched just in faith or you can be touched by the anointing. Either one will work well for you. And that gives us kind of a step up the ladder. Sometimes just believing God's word, the flesh likes help. You notice that. And God gives us that help. And then there's the prayer of faith, or if two or three agree on it, it's called the prayer of agreement, where we know whatever we desire, when we pray, believe that receive, we shall have. Now, here's today's question. Why did God, through Jesus Christ, heal the sick? Why did he do it? There's a lot of theories out there. A lot of them are not correct. But here's the answer. It's mercy or compassion. Now, they're the same thing in the Greek language. They're the same thing in the scripture. It says the blind man came to Jesus and said, have mercy. And then it says Jesus had compassion on him. That's Matthew chapter 20. They asked for mercy. They got compassion. They got exactly what they asked for, because to be merciful is to have compassion. To have compassion is to be merciful. It's the same thing. We will use both words. They are interchangeable in the scripture. And so mercy is what love does. For God so loved the world. You know, we talk about so love. You understand so mad, so broke, so frustrated, so antagonized, so beautiful. You got your Christmas tree up? Is it so beautiful? It should be after all the effort it took. I'm just telling you. We're getting a little old for attic climbing, but all is well. So loved the world. Now, the thing that's not ever mentioned is how love and mercy tie together. And mercy is the action of love. It's what love does. Love is not simply what you say. What you say is only the beginning of what you do. Now, you remember the Good Samaritan. That's in Luke chapter 10. The question there came from a lawyer, and he wanted to know what's the greatest commandment. He's just actually trying to trap Jesus, but you don't trap Jesus. He's more than enough, and he's more than enough in you. You should know that. He's more than enough in you. Are you free to say, Lord, I can't do this, but I know you can. You just tell me what my part is. That's what I'll do. Well, they're answering the question, how to love my neighbors myself. That's the question. And he's trying to trick Jesus. He's a student of the law. He knows the law. He knows the rules and regulations. And Jesus, in response, gives him the parable or the story of the Good Samaritan. The man was beaten and left by the side of the road, and the priest came passing by, and the Levite came and passed him by, but the Samaritan came and bound up his wounds and took him to an inn and left money for his care so he could go on attend about his business. And so he asked the lawyer, "So who was your neighbor there?" Now the question is, I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to love my neighbor. That's the question. You know what the answer is? Yes. This is given in that scripture? The one who was merciful. Because mercy is birthed by love. Mercy is a product of love. Now in Titus 3:5, we know for God so loved the world, his great love for where he loved us. We know the plan of salvation, of rescue and deliverance and freedoms is based on God's love and his decision to send Jesus. But here's the other end of it, seldom mentioned, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. According to his mercy, he saved you. Now, which was it? Did he save you because of his love or because of his mercy? It was both. Because they go together. They're melded together. They're welded together. God so loved the world, not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to his mercy. And what you see when Jesus gave the story of the Samaritan, he tied love and mercy together. Now, if you look to 1 John, you'll see that same thing. There are several scriptures that tie them together. And if you tie them together, your heart will be happier. Chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. See, do you see? We know his love because of what he did. His love was expressed by his action. Mercy is the action. Whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion or mercy, how dwells the love of God in you? If you're not merciful, the love of God is not in you or not functioning through you. You see that, don't you? I want you to see they're tied together. Now, why did Jesus heal the sick? Let's start in Matthew 14. Why did he heal the sick? There's a lot of theories out there. Here's the first primary and top reason. Verse 14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. What caused him to heal the sick? The whole multitude. You know, a multitude is measured in acres. If you look at the picture of some of the old ministers of old, you'll see acres of people. They didn't even try to lay hands on them. They prayed a group prayer, and thousands were healed. Well, it said, he healed the multitude because of his compassion, because of his mercy. Mercy and compassion, that's what love does. That's the action that love takes. Love in action, that's what mercy is. You're saved by love, and the love of God sent Jesus in his mercy to rescue and deliver, and they're always looped and tied together. Now, so the primary reason for healing was compassion. Now, it's not sympathy. Sympathy is an emotional bond, and there's nothing wrong with sympathy. The scripture says, weep with those that weep. Sympathy is a wonderful thing. You like somebody by your side, somebody to say, I understand, somebody say, that was too bad, you know, we're here for you. If anything we can do for you, mercy is what you do. It's a doing word. It's what you do. Kindness is what you do. The reason you know your neighbor is so, you will not know this. I will tell you. If you're my age, you will know this. We used to hang clothes on the line. You remember that? We rented Daddy's house before we remodeled it and sold it after Mom and Daddy were both gone. And the little girl that rented it, she called and said, the dryer's broken. It came with washer and dryer. I said, well, there's clothespins. Granddaddy's clothespin bag is hanging back there. Just hang them on the line. She said, What? I said, okay, in the backyard, there's poles with wire strung from pole to pole. She said, I noticed. I said, that's called a clothesline. She said, I would never do that. Somebody will see my clothes. I said, so if you got a couple dollars, there's a dryer place down the block. What I'm trying to tell her is I'm not coming. And if I came, there wasn't anything I could do to repair the clothes dryer. Anyway, we'd have to call a repairman and wait on time. If you have wet clothes and you need them dry, you can't put them on the clothesline. Put them on the clothesline is what you do. Something you do. Do you remember in James where he said, if you see a brother hungry and in need, and you say, well, be filled, brother. You haven't shown mercy. You've been sympathetic. And there's nothing wrong with words of sympathy. It's just not enough. We've got to have compassion. Now look at Matthew 20. These are the two blind men that came to Jesus. It's at the end of this chapter, beginning with verse 30. And the two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus had passed by, cried, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. They were expecting a king to come in David's shoes to rescue Israel as a nation from the oppression of Rome. And they asked for mercy. Now, why would you ask for mercy? Isn't it because you had noticed that someone was merciful, that someone was kind, that someone helped other people, and they'd probably help you? If someone was curt and blunt and ugly and unkind and sharp-tongued, you'd think twice before you'd say, look, brother, just have mercy on me, would you not? No, see, there are, I think, four or five instances in the scripture where they came and asked for mercy because they had seen. Why is he healing the sick? Because of his compassion, because of his mercy. His heart urged him to do something, and he had the power of heaven upon him, which came upon him the day he was baptized, the power that came upon him in order to be merciful, in order to be compassionate, in order to walk in the power of God. And it was his mercy that prompted him to walk in the power of God. Now, I know somebody's asked you to do something that you really weren't enthused about. You're willing. You say, sure, when do you need this? I would be glad to do that. Well, you're not enthused. You're not leaping. You know, running and leaping and praising God. You're just willing. Did you know willing is not enough to get your answer? There are three aspects which are very important, seldom taught, but important. You have to know that God can. That's he has ability. You have to know that he's willing. He wants to. And then you have to know that he's gracious or that he's merciful. Now, when somebody is gracious, they really want to help you. It was F.F. Bosworth that writes, when he taught on the mercy and the graciousness of God, he had tens of thousands healed. When he taught on faith and confession, he had 1,000 healed. And confession is right. And faith is spoken. But mercy, action, deeds, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? We frequently discuss it. I say, well, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? it's amazing. Okay. They asked for mercy. The man came on behalf of his son and asked for mercy, said, oh, Lord, have mercy. That's in, one of those is in Matthew 20. Let me see what my thing says. Matthew 20, and one is in, this is Matthew 20, Matthew 15, 22, and Matthew 17, 15, and Matthew 9, 27. All are people that cried out for mercy. 9, 27, 15, 22, and 20, 30, and 31. One is the man that came on behalf of his lunatic daughter. The other is son, and the other was the lady that came on behalf of her daughter. And the other in Matthew 9 is two blind men that came and asked for mercy. They asked for mercy. What were they expecting to get? Mercy. What did they get?
Mercy.
Mercy. Now, when God is gracious, look at the 145th Psalm. The Lord is gracious, that's verse 8, full of compassion, slow to anger, of great mercy. How much mercy?
Great.
How much compassion? You've used the expression we have in the South, you know, you're just somebody's saying things and whatever they're doing, blabbing. You say, oh, you're just full of it today. Have you heard that expression? Yeah? Just me and Miss Melinda? Oh, okay, one more. You're just full of it. He's full of compassion. In other words, he's not hard-hearted. He's not unkind. He's not difficult to reach. He's full of compassion. He has great mercy. The Lord is good to all. So who does he want to be compassionate to? All. How many?
All.
Now, you can disqualify yourself from compassion. David had an affair with Bathsheba, and they had a son that died, and then Solomon, who took David's throne. If you go to the 51st Psalm, you'll see how David repented, fell on his face and said, oh Lord, take not the Holy Spirit from me. You can be hard-hearted, mean, ugly, unkind, and run away from God, and God is still waiting with compassion, but you're going to have to come back. You're going to have to come back. And so he's gracious. Now, gracious people, my grandmother was gracious. She was at her death, 60 pounds or just less, and she was always real tiny, and she had the smallest foot. And I was over there one day. She lived in Winter Haven, and I would take the kids over, and we would spend the day. My granddaddy was not born again until he was 69, and he was one mean dude until then. If you've ever seen a new creature in Christ Jesus, you should have known granddaddy. It was absolutely the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I was a young adult by then. He so radically changed. The life of God in him turned him over and rolled him up. It was just amazing. He'd walk me out the car. I'd been there all day, and he'd say, oh, don't go yet. And I've got two children in car seats. You know how that went. And he'd say, oh, don't go yet. You don't have to go yet, do you? And I'm thinking, it's 3 or 4 o'clock. And Granny would always feed us lunch, and she was a Georgia cook. She's a world-renowned cook. She was a great cook. And she'd always send Wayne a plate of supper. Now, the problem was, did the supper get to the house? That's the problem, because the food was good. And if you came in the morning, she'd give you the leftover biscuits. You know how you make biscuits? You throw something together, and you feel of it, and you know it needs something else, and you feel of it, and then it's just perfect consistency. I've not conquered that. I have to have a recipe. But she didn't have to have a recipe, and she would feed us all day long. Well, she had really small feet. She's very small, and she wanted me to give her new slippers. And I said, Granny, no, I can't wear those new slippers. See, she's gracious. Gracious people have to do something for you. They have an urgency within them to help you, and they're watching. One day, we were talking about assisted living programs that my daddy might qualify for. He'd been with us for some time. And some of these programs, you can stay 2 weeks and check them out, you know, see if you like them. That gives me a break. Anyway, I said, we're going to check some things out. And she showed up the next day with pamphlets from half of the places in town. I didn't ask her to do anything. I'd gotten to it eventually. Why'd she do that? She's gracious. Gracious people must help you. They always are looking for an opportunity to help you. You don't have to ask them to help you. See, God wants to help you. He's watching for an opportunity to do something for you. I think Ephesians says he's given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And one of the translations, he opens up all of heaven to give you of its bounty. He's just waiting. He's waiting for you. He's waiting on you. Well, I kept telling Granny, I can't wear your slippers. She kept insisting. She was a size 4. And as you know, I'm not a size 4. You can see that. I just had to keep saying, no, you keep them. They're brand new. You wear them. And then somebody gave them to her. I said, well, they would really not like me to be wearing them with my heel hanging off the end anyway. So she's gracious, and gracious people, they have to do something. There's something in them. There's an urgency. And God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to be merciful to you if you would come and ask and believe in the death and resurrection of the Lord and declare him your Lord over your life. He could be gracious to you. He could pour into you what he had wanted to pour into you. You know, some people he's chased around with the plan of salvation for a long time. Have you known those people? Were you one of those people? Not me. I was raised in a Christian home. I've been born again since I was 9 years old, so you didn't have to chase me very far because I was always in church. But you've known people, they were a real surprise. We have some really surprising stories at Family Worship Center. You'd be surprised if you knew the details. And of course, we're not party to distribute the details, but there's some real, you think, you're kidding, right? You'd just say, wow. God had to chase them and wait on them and cajole them and talk to them and plead with them and send laborers to them. And he never gives up. Now look at 2 Chronicles. You know where 2 Chronicles is?
Yeah.
He wants to be merciful. There's an urgency in him to be gracious. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. It's when you believe that he gives you all that you need, that he's waiting on you so he can distribute the bounty of heaven. He can open up all of heaven to you. 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. The eyes of the Lord running to and fro. In other words, he's watching to see if there's something he can do. He's watching you constantly. He's watching those that run from him. He's watching them run, knows exactly where they are and how far they ran. Now this says two things. It says those hearts perfect, those that are mature, those that are following him, those that are complete in him. He's watching for an opportunity to be a blessing to you. We have that in the 103rd Psalm. Look at the 103rd Psalm. Verse 8, the Lord's merciful and gracious. He's what? He so loves you that he wants to be merciful to you, and he's watching over you so that if any minute he can be gracious to you and give to you and do for you, he's not tardy. You know God's never late. He's never tardy. You might have to say to Wayne, well, where have you been? Where were you? He usually leaves me a note because he knows I don't respond well if I can't know where he is. Did I say that nice enough? I have a whole envelope of his notes over the years, a big fat envelope of his notes. He always leaves me a note so I know where he is. That's because we have acreage, and he disappears. I just don't like that. And God doesn't like it when you disappear. But you know what? He's watching you. He follows. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. And he's following you too. He's following you because he wants to be merciful. He wants to heal. Mercy is his compassion. And one of the chief aspects of his compassion is healing. Now, when he cast a demon, Mark chapter 5, out of the demoniac, and the demoniac said, I'll go with you. Naturally, he would want to go with him. Jesus said, no, you go home and tell them how great compassion I've had on you. You go home and tell them he cast out the demon because of his compassion, and he wanted them to go publish. He wanted him to go tell everybody about the compassion of the Lord. The compassion of the Lord needs to be published. Now, do you know why he fed the multitude? The disciples came to him and said, you know, all these people are hungry. You need to let them go home. He said, no, I won't. They'll faint. You feed them. Well, he knew they couldn't feed them. He's stretching them. And they had this little boy's lunch. And it said, we'll have to feed him. We must have compassion on them. Do you ever notice that? He had compassion on the hungry, compassion on the sick, compassion on the demonized. And he's gracious in that he's watching for an opportunity to be compassionate, to do something, to help you, to rescue you, to deliver you. You know, when Wayne's getting stuff out of the attic, I'm not very good at attics. I was in the attic two times, first and last. First of all, you can't stand up in there. And in our attic, there's no ladder down. It's just a minor problem. I finally got down, but I thought it was going to take a court order or a team of firemen. I don't know, but I finally got down. I made up my mind, no attic, no attic, no attic. But I stand at the foot. There's a short ladder, and then you have a leap. That's how that works. And I say, if you need anything, Wayne, you holler. If I can hand you anything, I'll climb to the top of this ladder in throw it to you, you know. I'm standing by. You know, that's what God is doing. He's standing by. He's standing by. He said he's watching. But is he watching more? He said he's watching those that are perfect, those that are complete, those that are walking with him. Well, we'll get back to that. Look down at verse 11. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Those that reverence him, those that respect him, those that know he's a God of mercy, he's a God of compassion, he's a God who's gracious, who's looking for, not gracious people are looking for an opportunity to help you. And it says, as high as the heaven, his mercy is great as from the earth to the top of the sky. Well, now don't go look up in the sun, that's not wise. But you go out there sometime when the sun's not shining and you look up there and think, that's a lot of mercy. That's an awful lot of mercy. And what's he doing? Says he's walking to and fro to show himself strong. Walking to and fro to deliver and set free. Now, God knows what he's doing. You have to let him do what he does. Sometimes we try to order God. You can tell him about your healing. He's already healed you by his stripes. But we need to listen carefully if it's a matter of decision. Where do I go? What do I do? What job do I take? What house do I buy? One lady came to me and she told me that she knew of the Lord that this was their house to buy. And we actually went by and looked at it. And that's her house. She says, that's my house. The Lord says, that's my house. And so we agreed in prayer. That's her house. She knows that's her house. And so later, I didn't see her for a long time. And I saw her and said, oh, you know, so-and-so has a new house over on such and such a street. And I thought, wrong street. That's not the house that we prayed over. Wrong street. It's in God's graciousness that we should get it right. He's not hiding it from you. He's hiding it for you. He's hiding it to give it to you at the proper time so that you can anchor. Now, today is the day of salvation. Anything that's purchased by the blood of the Lamb is not tomorrow. It's now. It's today. So there's a lot of mercy. Now look at verse 17. Are y'all with me? Yeah. Is this new to you? Yeah. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, it's unending. It's unending. Mercy is healing mercy. It's unending. It's always available. It doesn't ever go away. It's unending. Now look at Lamentations. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Isaiah, Jeremiah. It's to your right, Becky. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 22, somewhat famous in this book. These are the verses you might remember. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. If the Lord wasn't merciful, you'd have been toast. That's what that says. You'd have been fried high. It's of the Lord's mercies. And what about mercy? What about graciousness? He's going to and fro watching. How can I help you? How can I help you? What can I do for you? He's waiting on my words and my action, my cooperation. Because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You can never use all the mercy of God. When you get up tomorrow, there'll be as much mercy tomorrow available as there was today. And if you thought you bucketed God out and you just overdid the mercy thing, you'll find out you didn't. That tomorrow, there's as much mercy tomorrow as there is today. God is still gracious. Now, they'll teach you God doesn't heal today. Or they'll teach you he did heal, but he quit after the last apostle died. You know what that means? He was merciful at one time, but he's not merciful anymore. He's given up mercy. Now you have to qualify. How are you going to qualify? Perfect attendance in Sunday school? We used to get stars. Did y'all go to that church? I don't think y'all ever went to church. We used to get stars. What about an hour of prayer a day? Would that qualify you? What about reading your Bible through every year for 10 years? How are you going to qualify? Not by works of righteousness that you've done, but according to his mercy. He's merciful. When I come and I say, Lord, I declare your lordship over my life. I declare your healing over my body. I declare your abundant supply over my finances. And then the God who's merciful can open up, it says, the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. Now, years ago, they did that on stage. Were y'all here? They brought out a window, and they had Miss B behind the window with bags and bags and bags and bags of candy. You were here. Okay, I lie not. She was here. And they had Mr. McBride, who's gone to be with the Lord, and he's supposed to catch all the candy. Well, he tried. But it's just everywhere. It's all over the floor. He did this, and he did this, and he did this. There's candy everywhere. They wanted to show us God, who said he'll do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. Now, I didn't think of this. A lady told me this. She said anytime she asked the Lord for money, he always gave her more than she asked for, because he knew if she tithed on it, which she was going to tithe on it, then she wouldn't have enough. If she asked for $100 because she needed $100 and she tithed on it, she wouldn't have but $90. So anytime she asked for $100, the Lord always gave her $125 so she could tithe and still have her $100. I thought that was brilliant. I never thought of that in my entire life. You know what that is? He's more than enough. He's more than enough. He sees Becky's going to tithe. This little old girl, she's going to tithe, and she won't have enough money to pay this bill when she tithes. And he's watching. Says he's watching. Merciful, gracious, compassionate. That's what love does. You know, if I love you, but I won't help you, and if I'm only willing, you know, you ask... One day, our Ashley, when she was little, she's 30 now, and when she was little, she wanted this particular kitchen set. And we went out and priced it, because you know what grandparents do. And it was a lot more than we had. I can't imagine a plastic kitchen set. The price was just a little over the top. So coming to church, I was coming to a prayer meeting, and we passed a garage sale that was just around the corner, and there was a kitchen set sitting right out in front. I didn't have a dime on me, but I stopped, and I said, I'm fixing to go to church right up here. I have a meeting to do, and I will be back with money. I'll pay for this. How much you want for this? He wanted $20. Several $100 they sell for. Then, I don't know what they sell for now. And I said, if you put that in your garage, I promise. He trusted me. Can God trust you? So, the prayer meeting, I said, we have a very important matter first. All I need a $20 bill. Is anybody would loan me a $20 bill? That's how I got it. And some man came forward, and I said, I will give it to you Sunday, which I did. I kept my word. And I went by, and the man kept his word, and the little kitchen set was still there, and we used it till we were too tall. That's how that works, isn't it? So you're too tall for the kitchen set. I wasn't prepared. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Just a thought. Now look at the last book of the Old Testament. And let me show you the most startling thing. No, it's Micah. It's not Malachi. It's Micah. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Malachi. You know how that goes. They're very skinny books. If you start with Matthew and go back, go left, you'll be right there to Micah, Nahum. It's right before Nahum. Final chapter. Jesus, Jesus. Verse 18. Is anybody there? The final one. 7. Micah 7. Who's a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? Passes by transgression. Why in the world would he do that? He retains not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Let me read again. I'll ask you a question. He retains not his anger forever. He delights in mercy. Which is stronger, mercy or anger and judgment? Mercy. Which has the most power? Mercy. Because he said anger is not forever. Anger is temporary. anger and judgment's temporary. It's temporary. He said it's not forever. But mercy, what? And his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good, and forever his mercy. He delights in mercy. Now, what do you delight in at Christmas time? What are you looking for? Chocolate sour cream cake? Apple pie in the paper bag? I know you're not real enthused about the turkey, right? Well, turkey's good, but chocolate sour cream cake. I used to bake one every year on Suzanne's birthday. She's born the 10th of December, coming right up. Well, what is it you delight in? I'm a lemon person. I'm not a chocolate person. I like chocolate. I love lemon. Love, love, love lemon. Lemon in the tea. Lemon in the pie. Lemon in the cake. Lemon in the cheesecake. Excellent. Excellent. Lemon. Lemon. He said, well, you know what God delights in? Mercy. And you know what he's watching to do for you? He said his eyes go to and fro. Looking for a chance to be merciful. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. He will perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham. That he will cast your sins into the depths of the sea. And it says they'll never be remembered. Somebody said there's a no fishing sign on that sea. That's a clever play on the scripture. So he will have compassion. That's pretty merciful to bury all you did. I'm just saying, I don't know what you did, but most everybody's done something they hope never mentioned again. Has that been you? I have. I've done something I hope nobody ever thinks of. I say to God every now and then, I think of it, I say, you're not going to tell that, are you? It says he's going to bury it. That's pretty merciful. Now go back to the Gospels. Delights in mercy. Here, let me read you the Message Bible. It says, mercy's your specialty. It's what you love the most. Is that great? Mercy is your specialty. It's what you love the most. Look at the New Testament. And let's look at Matthew 9. Jesus, healing is a product of his mercy. If he doesn't heal today, he's ditched his mercy. He didn't heal you because you qualified. He healed you because he's merciful and he's watching over you and he sees you needed it. Isn't that a good deal? I thought so. Now, this is the two blind men, chapter 9, verse 27. They came to Jesus. They said, Son of David, have mercy. I told you that about five times they asked for mercy. You don't ask for mercy for somebody's hard-hearted. A lady came to me and she needed, it was a hunk of money. And she has a friend that she thought had money, and she's just going to ask her friend, would you give me this money, and I can never pay you back. I thought, being the merciful person that I am, that will never work. That will never work. And she said, I think it'll work. And I said, I'd be cautious, because I didn't think it'd work. So she went to her friend, who wasn't a close friend, someone she barely knew, an acquaintance that she had met along the line of life, and she told her how much money she needed, and the girl got out her checkbook and wrote her a check. And she said, don't worry about paying it back. I don't need it. And his mercy endureth forever. For the Lord, he is good. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures. See, is when you lean your faith on his mercy, often that's when healing happens. When you lean it on your prayer life, when you lean it on how much scripture you've read, those are excellent things, those are necessary things, but they won't hold the weight that mercy holds, that graciousness holds. Now, Wayne redid furniture after he retired. He did it for 10 years in order to qualify for some insurance. And he did a lot of furniture that wasn't worth saving, but he's a master at that. But some of you can't sit on, you can't stand on, you can't lean on. You know why? It's going to collapse because it's in such poor condition. poor condition. He's fixed things that nobody else would try. Well, the other guys, they're trying to make a living, so they have to work at a certain speed, and we're not trying to make a living, so he doesn't have to do anything promptly, and so he can take his time to do that. And he's done some really things that everybody else would have thrown in the ditch, and he's repaired them. But you couldn't lean on them until they were repaired, till they were strengthened. See, and there's a point now, you need to strengthen your faith, not by having heard yesterday, but by what you hear today, and strengthen your faith in His mercy, that He's a merciful God, and He is watching to help you. He wants to help you. Well, these guys asked for mercy, and Jesus said, "You believe I'm able to do this?" That's in verse 28, and they said, "Yes," and He said, "According to your faith." According to your faith. I'm encouraging you today to move from God can do this. He has the ability. He will do this. He wants to. It's paid for. To He's watching. He's gracious and merciful. He's watching to deliver when I call. He's waiting to deliver. Now we cleaned out Mama's house. There's some surprises at Mama's house. Mama had cabinets all the way to the ceiling. Those cabinets at the ceiling, hadn't, as far as I know, have been opened in decades and decades. I told my sister, I said, "Do we know what's up there?" She said, "No, we don't know what's up there." Well, nobody, you'd have to stand on the cabinet or get a ladder to get up there. You know what that is? Well, no, it had never been done. And she opened, she said, "Oh, that's Aunt Nell's." I think it was some kind of a flower pot that she's been looking for. And there it was. And she said, "Oh, you ever seen Mama use those? What are those?" I said, "I don't know. Maybe they're..." So I don't know anything about glassware. I love glassware, but I don't know anything. And so we put them, and one, I brought them to my house. Nobody wanted them. Cute little glasses. And we brought them to my house, and one day I fixed a compote in them with fruit and all that, you know, very lovely. And the lady that I was serving said, "Where'd you get these champagne glasses?" I went, "I never had any liquor in my life. Nobody in my house ever had any liquor in life. Nobody in Mama's house ever had any liquor unless Daddy had his liquor when he was Coast Guard World War II, and we can't vouch for those years. But other than that, we're liquor-free, and we're glad to be liquor-free, and we really, really, really suggest that's a good thing for you." Okay, moving on. I had no idea there were champagne glasses. Well, now what do I do with them? All this time they were standing by for champagne, but no champagne come, and no champagne's coming, by the way. See, God's standing by, and if you lift the vessel of your heart, if you lift your heart up to Him, He'll pour in the mercy. So, "Lord, I'm here for mercy." That's one of the best prayers for me. "Lord, I'm just here for mercy. I'm not trying to qualify. I know it's paid for. I know you're gracious. I know the windows of heaven are open and you're standing by to do for me